Father, we thank You and praise You. And Lord, help us to want to lift up our lips to praise Your wonderful Son, Jesus. God, as the sister sang, Lord, it's You and You alone, Lord. Help us to look to You fully into Your face today. You're faithful. You are faithful. Not us, but You are faithful. You are loving. You are peace and rest and joy and strength. And thank You, Lord, all happiness and all joy is found in the delight in the courts of the Lord. Lord, we're here now. Lord, You've joined us. God, we're so thankful that we're two or three are in Your name. And we're here in Your name. You are in the midst. Lord, let us rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Lord, help us to be thankful today and truly praise You joyfully, willingly, thankfully that You love us. Lord, let Your Spirit anoint each and every life, anoint Your Word, anoint Your speaker. Lord, let us just magnify the beauty of the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in His name we pray. Amen. Praise His name. Go ahead and open your Bibles today to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to that wonderful and awesome story of when David met Goliath. And I just rejoicing in so many things this week and thinking about that sweet brother. And you know, he never set out for anything by God's grace except for the desires of the Lord to be fulfilled in his life. You think he accepted that he was born the youngest, and so he kind of tended to his brother's things as his daddy told him. Didn't murmur and complain. He was born to one that owned a flock of sheep, and that's what he went out there and he tended the sheep. And then, you know, he was a little person. He said he wasn't a big statured man or anything. And he was young. But God made him a warrior. God made him a fierce warrior. And then here was somebody that just knew about sheep, about what the Lord could do. And yet, God made him the head of all Israel and made him their king. And it just amazes me to think that this brother never set out for any of that. Not one bit of it, except, Lord, have Your way. I pray that as we get into that, that would just kind of ooze and sink all into us to understand that, Lord, have Your way. But as we get into this story, it's so precious. We have here, as we get into the 17th chapter, the Philistines. See, they were in the south part of Canaan. And they were the irritants in the land. They were always irritating Israel, always coming up against them, always ready to pick a fight, always ready to battle. And they were in the land of promise there, weren't they now? God set those giants specifically in the land to show Himself faithful. God has specifically set the giants in your land to show Himself faithful. He's never changed. Those aren't coincidences. They're not accidents. Lord, You told me You were leading me into this promise, and I lost my job. Or I got sick, or my child, or whatever it may be. By God's grace, let's apprehend the promise and the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am with thee always. Praise be to God. So here they are in this story, and basically, you have Israel on one mountain, you have the Philistines on the other mountain, and there's a valley in between them. And this old Goliath, he is the chief soldier, maybe the soldier of soldiers there'd really ever been for the enemy. A 9.5-foot giant. I think of how people might, oh, he's not 9.5 feet. You know, we can have people that we can document at 8.5 feet and all that, but we can't have a 9.5-foot person. See, there's no way that a whale could swallow a Jonah. Well, dummy, know the word of God. It's a fish. And God prepared the fish. When are we going to believe the word of God? And these are scholars. And some of these are brothers and sisters that love the Lord. And yet they're trying to compromise what God said. I believe the word of God. I don't need Josephus to give me interpretation or some other historian. I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me there's this giant that had a big attitude, and he didn't want to have anything to do with God, and he came up against God, and that's not a place you want to go. And I don't care if you're 9.5 feet. I don't care if you have a coat that you wear around that's 125 pounds. I don't care if you can loft a spear with the head of it that weighs 15 pounds and throw it 100 yards right on the dime. When you come up against God, you're nothing. You're done. And praise be to God, we had a brother here that knew, without a doubt, that I'm the apple of God's eye. You the apple of God's eye or not? Are you his son or not? I see lots of parents here with these little babies that come in. You, when they come in at the first, and I don't blame you, even ones that wouldn't touch them in harm, you don't want them touching them. Let the diseases or whatever that need to be dealt with. But I don't want you touching my kid until they're 2 months or 3 months. Now you're not even letting people touch your own. How much is God, the Father, so above any of that? Now think about this, okay? So here we got this giant. And here he's coming in and he's mocking them. And he does this for about 40 days and 40 nights, just coming out and mocking the God of Israel. And as the Lord brought me to this text, brothers and sisters, it was so apparent what the Lord was tugging at my heart. Mentioned it last week. Faith faces things. Listen to that. Faith faces things. See, faith, brothers and sisters, doesn't go around the sea. Faith goes through it. Amen? See, isn't that wonderful? He said, I ran through a troop. I didn't run around a troop. Anybody can get around. By God's grace, faith faces things. Faith faces the waves of glory. And as faith faces those waves, it actually rides it. It's awesome what glory does in our life. Putting it off for another day, a later time, brothers and sisters, let's quit making the excuses because it never gets it done. Only the faith, like a Caleb that's set in his heart, goes in there and says, this promise is mine now. We are well able to take it. Why delay when it's yours? The Bible says, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Did you know that? That's a promise from God. The moment you became his child, he blessed you with everything he had. Everything he's got. God is all in. He gave you his son. See, people want to comprehend that, well, I've got to earn something from him. I've got to do something to get the blessing. No. He gave it freely. And all he wants you to do is just appreciate it, grow in it, be thankful for it, embrace it. Giving thanks always for all things. Lord, I've got your son. I've got it all. Hallelujah. We can do this, Lord. Matter of fact, you can do it. But I pray this text will inspire us. And I want to go ahead and pick it up in that 17th chapter at the 11th verse. So the giants come in. He's mocking Israel. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. All right. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that were in the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto Abinadab, and unto the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But when David went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistine drew near that morning and evening and presented himself 40 days and 40 nights. Now what happens here is Jesse calls for his son David to go bring those brothers some food. Jump down to the 20th verse. And David rose early up in the morning
and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and he shouted for the battle. Can you imagine that? This young man, he was excited about a battle. He was excited for his brethren to face the trial. Let God do that in your life. My heart hurts for you. It does. I can't tell you when I see the battles going on, brothers and sisters. But in faith, I'm excited. And I'm shouting for you. I'm thanking God for it. I'm saying, get on in there. Hallelujah. The battle is the Lord's. And here we go. This brother was excited about it. He was seeing what was going on. He knew God had prepared this and God had put that in their hands. For Israel and the Philistines there had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. See, this brother just didn't want to stand afar off. He wanted to get in it. He said, man, this is so good. I just got to get in there. And I'm thankful. And he comes in there. And isn't it precious how he salutes his brethren? He's thankful for them. He's caring for them. Can you imagine? He's praying for them, isn't he? Maybe giving them a holy kiss. Praise the Lord what he's doing. Thank God for vessels that are in tune with the Lord that will go freely into the battle and not fear. Well, that's what he was hoping. And as he talked with them, behold, there came out the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. You know, I can get the picture of that. They're all excited. David's here, and, you know, he's just a little guy, but he's excited for us to go to battle. And here we go, and we're going into battle, and they see that, and they're out of there. And David's standing there. You can see this little brother, and he's just standing there going, what's going on? Where'd you go? You know, it's like, come on, and nobody's following kind of thing, huh? I love that. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, David saw this giant in faith. Who is this guy? That's what he's saying here. Can you believe this? This guy's defying the armies of the living God. If God be for you, who could be against you? Come on now. This is your God. As David, as we read in Chronicles, as he said, this is your God to his son, even my Lord's son. It's the same God. And he's going to be with you in the same way. He's never changing. Brothers and sisters, this is our God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to him that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, isn't this something? Heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? See, he was really pointing out good things for his brother, wasn't he? Look at that. Why would you come down here? Why don't you tend to the things that you should be tending to? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Isn't that amazing how many people know exactly what's in our hearts? Come on, right? Oh, my goodness. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You know, what have I done? And he turned from him toward another. And he spake unto the other the same way. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Isn't that precious? He had boldness in the Lord. He wasn't going to stop. He was encouraged of the Lord. He said, no, by God's grace, brother, this is the Lord's. This is about the Lord, and this is about the Lord's battle. And when the words were heard, what David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. See, there was a conviction going on with these men. There really was. This was a young boy. You know, and these were battled warriors. Yeah, I mean, these guys were used to battling, just not 9.5 foot tall guys, one-on-one. But they've been in the battle before. And here's this young person, but there were ones that were convicted of heart. Now listen to these things, brothers and sisters. How wonderful that out of the mouth of babes, I'm telling you, listen to when the Lord is speaking. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. At least Saul wasn't pointing out how big the guy was. He said, well, he's just a seasoned veteran. Let's not forget, though, that he's 9.5 feet tall. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one as them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. He defiled God's people. And this brother was anointed to not be fearful, but to face things by faith. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Well, I'll tell you, there must have been an anointing here, wasn't there, on a lot of people for this king to look at this boy and say, okay, go on out there, son. I'm not going to venture what he was thinking, but I am going to tell you, this was the king that had a place, and he was putting it in the hands of the Lord, entrusting it to a little boy. Now, it goes on to say that the king was going to give him his armor, and you could see that helmet was too big, I'm sure, and you know, this didn't fit right, and he probably was standing there, and the helmet was on one side of him, lopped over, and you know, he looked like a little kid trying to dress up in his daddy's clothes. And David took that stuff off, and so precious, he said, you know what, I haven't proved any of this armor, it's not going to help me. God goes before me, and that's all I need. And it says he took a staff. Never forget the staff. And he took those 5 smooth stones and his sling, and the Lord prepared him for the battle. Now jump down to 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. See, there's a lot of defiling going on in today's world, brothers and sisters. We are in a battle. Face it in faith. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I'm going to take your head. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. I hope that encouraged you. Just go in there and read that and rejoice in that section of Scripture. But we're going to get on with this study today. And I pray that it'll just inspire us to new heights of glory as we go into this. But this is just beyond exciting. It really is. This is beyond awesome. This is our heritage in Christ. This is my brother. This is my brother who the Lord proved himself faithful in. And how wonderful that we see here that even when others mock you, even when the odds appear insurmountable, even when there appears to be no way out at all, if the Lord is before you and the Lord is behind you, it's time to get it on. It's time to go into the battle and face the giant. Praise be to God, defying the armies of the living God. Those are fighting words in your life. Do you hear that? Especially parents. What's defying the armies of the living God in your home today? Don't just turn your head to it. Don't run from it. By God's grace, the battle is the Lord's. And you know what? Satan, we're going to take your head today. Oh, yes. See, this isn't believing the impossible. This is not believing the impossible, brothers and sisters, like so many want to think. Faith believes God. And faith believes that with God, all things are possible. And that's a big difference. That's a big difference because faith believes in accordance with the will and the purpose of God. Because faith agrees with God, because faith only comes from the Word of God. See, a lot of people want to call their natural hopes and thoughts faith. Well, sure, they don't line up with the Word of God, but I'm calling them faith. That's not faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will not find anything that is faith. You'll find everything that is faith in the Word of God. Everything. And this is faith. And it needs to be in accordance with the will and the purpose of God. And it is awesome to see people that really have faith. And I'm talking about the most holy faith. And you can pick it out every single time. You know why? Because it's still. It's not moved. Oftentimes, it is even quiet. See, that brother had it going in. But he couldn't contain himself when he saw the privilege to be in a battle that the Lord had prepared. He saw the impossible that was going on there. He was excited because he knew by faith that God had prepared this battle. That God had brought this giant. How exciting that God was going to show himself faithful. He never thought for one moment that God wasn't able. There was absolute confidence. Not in himself. There couldn't have been. But he knew God had proved himself over and over and over in his life. Whether it was the bear, whether it was the lion, we're ready. God's brought this, we're ready. See, we so easily forget the greatness of our Lord. It's just like those children that came out of Egypt. Here God does all of those plagues. They get backed up against a sea. Oh, well, he brought us out here to kill us. After they saw all of those miracles, then he parts the sea and they walk across on dry ground. And within 3 days, in 3 days, they're saying, oh, he brought us out here to make us die of thirst. But that's us. That is us apart from giving God thanks always in all things and keeping those things in remembrance. And that was this brother. He knew those things. And let me tell you something. I'm confident he told his brother, brother, you can't imagine what the Lord did for me today. One of them sheep was taken by a lion. And the Lord sent me out there and I grabbed that old lion by the beard and I tore him apart. Now, did the brother believe him then? Did they know what was going on then? No. Who knows? But David never forgot. David never, ever forgot. God is faithful. God is faithful. David, later on in life, it was so wonderful again and again. But then the greatest miracle that God ever did in David's life was let him fail and fail miserably. Okay, now the lion, pretty much you feel, has torn you apart, hasn't he, son? You committed all of that adultery and you killed a man. But I'm going to tell you something, honey. You're still the man after my own heart. I never changed. My love for you never changed. You're still the man. You're still the man. It's a rock that's higher than us, isn't it? It's a rock that is affixed. It's awesome. And we stand on that rock. You stand on that rock. You do. And it's higher than you. And no matter how many waves hit, the beauty of the grace of God, and in faith, we arise and arise and arise. I took a trip not too long ago. Hallelujah. But I took a trip not too long ago to Alaska. And we are up there in a little place called Homer. And there's this little stretch of land that comes out into the ocean. It's called a spit. We were out there on the point that day. And it was amazing because I'll tell you, the sea was so rough and it was so cold and the rain was coming down. And all those pretty bald eagles that were flying everywhere, you couldn't see a one of them. All of them animals that would come down and eat, you didn't see a one of them. And I was kind of looking out the window that day, and I saw these three little things jumping up in the ocean. I was thinking, what in the world is that? I had to get out there a little bit closer and went closer out there. Well, there are three little sea otters out there. And they're having the time of their lives. There was no better time than that time of waves that would have made me green four times over and given everything out I had for the last month. They were built for that time. They were enjoying that time. And I got news for you. You know what you're facing right now? You are a vessel prepared afore unto glory. You are. You're prepared for this test. You're built for it. He promised you. He said in His Word, I will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Oh, Jesus. Do you believe the victory has already been won or not? Are we by faith going to face it today and say, oh Lord, You promised that You have made the way of escape for it. There's a pressing going on because the Word of God tells us that I'm looking for the refiner's fire, son, for those that are willing to go through it. I was thinking, I enjoy brethren and sisters that are beyond resilient. They're beyond victorious. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. Do you know that? Do you really know that? Oh, I pray you do. See, we need to let faith take hold. Faith have her way. Faith facing the giants in the land as with Jacob and with Joshua and Caleb. Faith facing our failures. See, that was like that precious prophet that came into David and said, David, you're the man. But wasn't it precious that faith laid hold of David and he didn't turn and run from it. He didn't get angry. He faced it in faith, didn't he? How about faith, Lord? Let faith face my fears. I don't know what that fear is, but I'm going to tell you something. Perfect love casts out all fear. And Jacob was running and running, wasn't he? And God divinely brought him Esau right back to his face. And you knew that brother thought, oh, my brother's going to kill me now. But he brought the fear there. David hunted like a partridge by Saul. That was death to David. He was going to kill him. And David was afraid. And God brought death right into that cave where David and his men were. And faith faced the fear. And what about forgiveness? Everything. But been hearing a lot about guilt. Faith face that for you. God said in His Word divinely, forgetting those things which are behind. Do you believe that God has taken it or not? See, I don't want to insult my Father. I don't. I don't want to back talk Him. I don't want to be disrespectful. Even my own natural dad, that was the one thing I have to tell you, by God's grace, He gave me a heart. Maybe because He was older, I don't know. But I cherished my dad. I respected, I honored my dad. And I remember the times that I wouldn't think and I would mouth back to him or sass him. He didn't need to give me a whooping. He did it probably early on. But the conviction, the whooping that was going in my heart the moment I did was far greater than any paddling I ever got in my life. Oh, the conviction of the Lord to face that we're forgiven. To face, brothers and sisters, that I don't need to carry the guilt. And then what about forgiving others? Faith can do that too. Oh, often I hear, well, you know, I'm just waiting for them to tell me that they're sorry. And I say, why don't you go out and get the real victory? And why don't you be getting on your knees right now and thankful that you had a Savior that didn't wait for you to say you were sorry. Because I got something for each and every one of us. We'd all be toast if that was the case. Let faith in everything. Quit living in denial. Quit walking around the promise. Because you'll never enter into the rest of God. You just won't. You won't enter into that place that He has for everybody. He does. It's for everyone. He's no respecter of person. He wants you to come in and fellowship with Him like that. He wants you to come in and just lay your head on His breast and say, you know what? It's well. It's so well. It's good. Thank you, Lord, you got it. Faith wants to meet everything that we ever come up against. Because faith is the victory and faith is the effectual working power of the Lord. It says the word of God works effectually in them that believe. I don't want to just read it anymore. It didn't say the word works effectually in them that read. It doesn't say the word works effectually in them that put the moniker up on their wall. I'm thankful that it's there. It doesn't say the word works effectually in how much you know. The word works effectually in them that believe. And I know each and every life is hearing something here today. You've heard something in this message. It's gone a lot of different directions. I just kind of get on and let Him go. It's the best way. It's a ride. Our family calls them a trip. Dad's tripping. But that one thing He gave you today, believe it. Apprehend it. Let Him make it your own. Take it in your arms. Overcomer sound good? Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? Take a verse, let Him be. Believe it, He'll make you an overcomer in it. By faith. By faith. And then let the glories roll. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, isn't it? Just to take Him at His word. It's been there all along for us, hasn't it? Whether the hymns, the songs, the different ones that we've heard over the years. By faith. By faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we do. We thank You that You're causing our hearts to praise You and to worship today. Lord, there's a drawing nigh in fervent love this morning, and I'm grateful today. And Lord, help us not to stop, but just give You a big kiss. Lord, let You kiss us with the kisses of Your mouth. Lord, bringing that sweet word to us. And by faith, not being afraid to swallow and to feast upon the word, even when it's bitter to the stomach, even when it hurts, even as the sister sang, even when we don't understand, we bow the knee and we say, thank You, thank You, thank You, that we know the love of God. It will not leave me. It will not forsake me. And praise be to God, as I apprehend it, it will take me into the midst of the throne. Now, Lord, we thank You again for this time of fellowship. We thank You for every life here today. We commit it all to You, and we give You alone all the glory, the praise, the honor, and thanks. In Jesus' name.